Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? We welcome you into the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here with you, joined alongside by the pride of West Virginia. We got Matt Harmon.
Coming to me first.
That's Resistance Radio.
Out of the
ordinary. In the closet.
Yeah, we're in the closet. I've decided that the closet shows are like objectively worse than our shows in the podcast studio. Shock. But so today I'm really determined to bring it. I feel really good this morning.
Good.
Shockingly, I feel good, and I think we're gonna have a really awesome show today. So I'm excited.
I like it. As we enter into week 13, we have the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gilhart. What's going on?
I'm just shook by the positivity Harmon's airing for this episode.
100%.
I'm excited to see where it goes. I don't want to derail it. Let's go.
Yeah, you bet. Be careful. It's very volatile.
It's razor thin edge we're on right now.
We got the franchise. We have Matt Franciscovich. What's up, man?
I'm in a unified front on the positivity.
Okay, good.
I think the Thursday shows are a little better than Monday shows just because we have more energy and we're ready to rock.
Okay.
But I did just smash my elbow in my chair and got funny bone. So it's not a good start. My hand is tingling really bad right now. Wow.
So you are in direct disagreement with Harmon's assessment of the Thursday versus Monday pods. Like the Thursday
better? I guess it correlates to that, yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
It's probably because we have like 15 million chairs in the closet.
We do.
And that is not an exaggeration. There is a pile in one corner. There's a pile in another corner.
We've got a whiteboard up as well with a lot
13.
Of nonsensical
there's
graphics.
Actually, there's 13. There's 13 chairs.
This looks
here.
Like your Austin Eckler
danger zone. Yeah,
it looks like a
it does.
Danger
it does.
Always yes, good to start off a podcast describing the room.
Yep. Yes, mm-hmm. Well, we're just painting a word picture
you know
for
what
the
I mean?
Listeners.
Yeah, exactly. We've got producer Chris in the building as well. What's going on, pal?
Good morning, boys. How are we doing today?
We're doing good, man. We're doing good. We got a great show in front of us here today. We got deep sleepers. We've got. Most damn games. Not every damn game.
Most.
It's MTG. Most damn games.
Look, people, in the biz, it's called a tease. If you want the rest of the damn games, you can come read my article, NFL.com/fantasy matchups.
But we will preview in whole the Tampa Bay Green Bay game. We will preview in whole the Rams taking on the Cardinals. And also much more, but we start your show as we always do with your top fantasy headlines.
Breaking news.
News.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
I like turtles. All right, let's start with Buffalo. This is New York. If you thought the Bills made the most nonsensical quarterback decision of the year, here come the Giants saying, hold my beer. Eli Manning, benched. Big news off the top of the week. Geno Smith, a.k.a. Marcus Grant, set to take over the starter. I imagine the rookie kid out of Cal, Davis Webb, will see some work as well as the season comes to a close. But what does Eli coming out of the offense, how does it impact the Giants offense? And we'll start with Sterling Shepard, who, oh, by the way, migraines, looks like he is back on track to
Hooray.
Play.
Mm.
Well, I don't know. I got this question a lot, and it's hard to move past like just how shocking of a tectonic plate movement this is in like the NFL universe to like really get into like what does this mean for the Giants offense, because I mean Eli Manning has been a stalwart for the Giants. He's won 2 Super Bowls, obviously. Like, there's a lot you can get into it from that perspective.
Well, let's start. Can we just start there?
Sure.
Let's go around. I'd love to get what you guys think about the Eli benching. I was floored, and I think just about damn near everybody was floored. But Matt, what was your thoughts on the Eli benching?
From one perspective, like, Eli has been fine this year. He was awful last year, in my opinion. I think he's been a little bit better this season than he was when they went to the playoffs even last year. But he's not been like a good. He's not been a plus force in that offense the last 2 years. So from that perspective, I get it, but. I just don't know what you're doing by going to Geno Smith and like trying to sell the fan base and everybody else that's paying attention. Like, this is a move to still try to win games. No, it's not. And I don't think like you weren't winning games anyways. I do think there is like it shows a lack of respect for what Eli's done for the franchise to to do it this way. You know, like, what would be the difference between riding out the rest of the year with him and riding out the rest of the year with Geno Smith? And I think that stuff matters. I know I've heard some other fantasy analysts being like, well, what is it, what does respect, you know, matter, anything like that? I think it matters when you're trying to build a team. So
absolutely.
Yeah, to me, I think they're doing him a little dirty here. I feel bad for Eli. You know, he's not dead. So I also think there's like reactions on both sides that annoy me. Shocking. But yeah, I think it sucks to see it go down this way for Eli. But it never ends pretty. I mean, for any of these quarterbacks, like,
no.
it will someday end not pretty for all of them.
I mean, so. But couldn't they wait till like week 15 and just be like, yeah, you know what? All right, season's over.
I just like let him play. Like the start streak thing really seems to matter to him.
100%.
Like, which as it should. It's an incredible feat. Like. Just let the guy play the year out and then cut him at the end of the year. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I've never been – like, Eli's been great for a long time. I've never been his biggest fan. I personally don't think he should go in the Hall of Fame. But for them to go to him as well and be like, hey, so what do you think? Like, we're going to start you so you can keep your start streak, but then we're going to pull you in the games to get a look at these guys? That's some BS.
Yeah.
Like, do it or don't. So it, I feel like he got done dirty. It doesn't really matter for fantasy because the Giants have been a wasteland since, you know, the Rapture hit
their roster,
their offensive roster like 6 weeks ago. But it is just a bummer. But like you said, it happens to all quarterbacks. The vast, vast majority have unceremonious ends with their teams in whatever way, shape, or form. And just because Eli's one of the last guards right now and has had such a historic run, it's a bigger issue than it might have been for other people quietly going off into the night.
French?
I feel bad for Eli. I mean, he looked like he was in tears in a locker room interview with the press, like
that
or
sucked.
Trying to hold back tears at least.
Yeah.
Like you could tell he was disturbed by it. And he says, "I'm going to be a team player and help these guys." But for the Giants to be like, "Oh, we want to see what we have in Geno Smith." We've seen Geno. Know what Geno Smith played with the Jets for two seasons. We know he's got a 57.7% completion rate in his career.
Yeesh.
28 touchdowns, 36 interceptions. Those are his career numbers, okay?
It's pretty bad.
You know what you have in Geno Smith. Just let Eli play it out.
I don't get it.
It's terrible.
Or cut him. Let him go somewhere else.
And let him go somewhere else. Along the lines of what Gelhar was saying, I feel like I saw a quote from Eli where him and McAdoo were talking, and Eli was like, look, if he was like, don't start me and then put these other guys in.
Yeah.
If you're going to do this, just start the other guys. Mm. So it was kind of like Eli being like, I don't want to say it was his call, but he was kind of like backing down to that. And it's just like another check on the box to fire Ben McAdoo.
There you go. There it is.
Can I ask you guys something? Would it have been more palatable if the Giants said, hey, listen, Davis Webb, third-round pick, we like what we see in practice, we're going to go with him right off the bat. Would the outrage be – the fervor be as heavy as it is now.
Right. It would have still been – there would have still been a bit of an uproar, but I don't think it would have been as big because that would have shown
–
that would have – because it sounds like – and some people have even either like conspiracy theorized or intimated like they've been told this, that they wanted to get to Webb but thought it was more disrespectful to just like drop Eli and start Webb. So they're using like Geno Smith as like a cushion.
Yeah.
Which also – makes it worse.
That makes it worse too.
If you have conviction and you want to like that's what it the whole thing just shows like a lack of conviction to me. Like the Giants don't really know where they want to go right now. They don't really know what they're doing. And to me, like if you want to go take a look at Webb, then go take a look at Webb. Don't use poor Geno in air quotes as like some sort of buffer to that. And the whole thing to me just shows like a weird lack of direction. And I don't even think this is, Ben McAdoo deserves a lot of slamming because I think he's not a good coach.
Nope.
And it doesn't seem to have a control of the team, but this is a decision that goes all the way to the top. I mean, you don't bench Eli Manning without, clarification from the top on down. So I think there's a lot of fingers to point.
Should get back to fantasy.
Probably.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So you mentioned those career numbers, Franch, for Geno Smith. Obviously not the most accurate quarterback ever.
Nope.
Now he's got, the probably the most, I guess, startable asset there in the Giants offense is probably Sterling Shepard. He looks like he's going to be back on track to play here. So, but again, we're talking about a slot guy. You know what I mean? And slot guys generally, tend to need accurate quarterbacks. I guess, what is Geno Smith's overall impact on what is already not a great Giants offense?
I think it's a downgrade for everyone involved. I mean, even Evan Ingram hasn't been doing great the last few weeks, and he's been, like, the only startable asset in fantasy in that offense. But, I mean, Eli Manning and Sterling Shepard have a rapport. Like, they've been playing together for 2 years, so to go to – go to Geno, who, like you said, isn't accurate. It's a downgrade. I don't know if you can trust, you know, none of these guys really have a ceiling. It's a good matchup against Oakland.
It is.
But then if Geno does bad, then what if they put Davis Webb in the second half, and then you have no idea what you're getting into.
Yeah, you're kind of just on your own. Like, if you need to start Shepard, if you need to start Ingram, I think you're okay because –
volume
they're going
be
to, yeah they're yeah. going to get they're going to get targets. Nobody else in that offense really gets targets, and I would say that it's easier to know that Shepard and Ingram are, you know, slot receiver and tight end, as opposed to like Geno's going to have to get the ball deep outside the numbers to somebody like if Odell Beckham was there. Remember him. You know, that would be more of a distressing proposition with the way he plays than as opposed to just having to get it into the middle of the field with some of these guys against some more open coverage.
Fair enough. Anybody playing Orleans Darkwall?
I mean, running back's still kind of a disaster, so the volume will probably be there.
All right, fair enough. Same game. Michael Crabtree suspended for this game, for the fight he was involved with Aqib Talib last week. Amari Cooper looks like he's not going to play, at least looking pretty doubtful. He's got that concussion and an ankle injury that he's working through right now. He has not practiced as of yet. We're recording Thursday morning, so get more information, of course, Thursday afternoon. But looking like a very much like a long shot to play in this game against the Giants. It is Raiders. It is Giants. Where do the targets go? Alex Gilhar.
It is Jared Cook week.
Let's go.
Tight ends against the Giants.
Except Vernon Davis.
Still not over it.
Jared Cook bounces back this week, I think, in a big spot.
I think so, too.
Seth Roberts probably steps up as the de facto number one, but I'm kind of a little more interested in Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, buddy.
To be completely honest.
Yeah, French got a big old smile on his face.
I mean,
he's
capable of splash plays, and we saw it last week. He had a 50-yard catch and run where he was just dragging defenders along the way.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, but he only played 51% of the snaps. Seth Roberts played 83%. And we've already seen Seth Roberts get targets in the red zone and that kind of stuff. So I think
he's been a red zone target when he's the number three option.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? As the number one, it seems a little bit different. Although, Janoris Jenkins not going to be in this game either.
I am not going down with the Seth Roberts ship.
same. That was my whole point. Yeah. Like,
I don't care that he's been on the field more. I do not. I will not go down, like, out of principle.
Why?
Because
what's the principle?
He's bad.
He's Seth Roberts.
He's been, objectively, by any sort of metric that you look at, he's been a bad player. I don't see how suddenly, like, it's like the same thing when we try to chase the Chiefs, like, number two wide receivers. I don't care that they're on the field a ton. They don't do anything.
Okay.
Seth Roberts, maybe he gets some volume. But, Cordarrelle Patterson had the most targets among the wide receivers. I think if you're desperate, you can play him. But, look, this whole Oakland offense is terrible. I mean, they've been a bad offense all year.
Looks pretty broken.
I think
can't move the ball.
Can't move the ball. Derek Carr doesn't go downfield at all anymore. He's been sneaky bad all year, to be honest, outside of the one like Chiefs game. And even then there were some questionable throws. So I don't really I'm not interested. Really, this game it could just be a straight nightmare.
I think they're going to run the ball.
I think Marshawn Lynch has like 30.
You wrote him up in Aaron Ground this week. So.
I think he's in line to have a pretty nice game.
That's right.
The Giants' defense too looks like they're shot. So I mean, I don't know. I'm interested in Marshawn Lynch, man. I think he could have a very nice game in this matchup. All right, Carolina's offense. Well, I don't know what to make of it, man. Greg Olsen foot, CMC shoulder, Devin Funchess toe. They didn't practice Wednesday, although CMC and Funchess did practice on Thursday. I did not get word yet on Greg Olsen. Has anyone seen an update? Well,
not an update, but they said they didn't feel it was serious.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The quote unquote re-injury that he had on last Sunday didn't appear to be serious. All the tests came back clean, so looks like he is on track.
Oh, he's the top blurb on RotoWorld right now. Did not practice Thursday. Reportedly did not suffer any additional damage to his foot in his first game back, but he's now missed the first two practices of the week, suggesting he suffered a setback of some kind. It is doubtful Olsen is ready to play against the Saints on Sunday per RotoWorld.
Speaking of that Saints defense, Marshawn Lattimore back practicing. He's looking good to play in that matchup against Carolina. All right, so you know about the litany of injuries. Maybe these are just vet days. I don't know. But
I think they said that for McCaffrey. It was, I think, Jordan Rodrigue, the beat reporter over there, had said it was like a maintenance day. Like, just he was getting treated for bumps and bruises. It wasn't like a big worry.
So that's good to know.
He practiced Thursday.
Yeah. The Funchess toe injury concerns me, though. That one sounds like it's a little bit more serious. And I'm interested to see what happens there, but it's not a great matchup anyways. Funchess,
especially if Lattimore's back.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Lattimore does look like he's going to be back. The Funchess injury scares me just a little bit.
He did return to practice Thursday as well, though.
Yeah. I'm not too worried about the Funchess injury. That seemed like one that even after it happened, they were pretty confident he was going to get back for this game.
It says jammed toe, so it's not like turf toe, which is the big worry because that lingers. So it's like he kicked somebody or something in his –
He had a toe thing in college, and I think this could be like just, you know, residual issues with it, but something that they're more cautious about than worried about. So, you mentioned the matchup. This is a fascinating game, I think, on a number of levels, and we can really dive deep into it later. But Funchess right now is going to be tough. I don't, you know, matchup or not, he's going to be tough to sit.
I'm not sitting him.
Yeah, he's been awesome. He went over 100 yards for the first time last week this season. Marshon Lattimore, really good corner, but Funchess is legit breaking out, and he's getting just a ton of air yards volume, a ton of volume sent his way. He was the only receiver, I think, wide receiver that caught a pass for that team last week. They're running out guys like, you know, just total nobody, like Keenan Clay or something. Kalen Clay. I mix up like Keenan Cole.
Keenan Cole and Kalen Clay.
I'm like, is that the same person? I don't know. You know, Russell Shepard not doing anything. Like, right. this is a group that – doesn't have a lot of other options outside of Funchess, especially if Olsen sits too. Like, he could legit get, you know, 14 balls thrown his way.
I could see that happening. Absolutely.
I believe Damir Bird, the guy
yes.
who splashed in the preseason, is eligible to come off IR this week. I think he broke his arm early in the year.
Are we going danger zone? Damir Bird.
So he's a deep threat.
I say Panthers just go to the option. just run the option with
Wing
Cam.
Teeth,
and,
let's do
with
it.
Cam and
you know what
C-Mac,
I mean?
Yep.
Triple option, let's go.
Get some triple option in there with Jay Stu and Cam and CMC and see what happens.
Damir Bird definitely, like, he should be on your danger zone radar because he's a guy that has been, like, a favorite in that organization for the last couple of years, especially if people that really observe the Panthers. He has legit deep speed, which is something the offense still really lacks over the top.
Oh, boy, what's his 40 time?
Oh, boy.
It's up there.
I thought Kalen Clay's 40 time was pretty nice, too.
Yes.
If I could.
If you type in
correctly.
Damir Bird, the first thing
is Damir Bird is 40?
40. He ran a 4.25 at his pro day.
No, he didn't.
4.28, yeah.
No, come on.
Something like that. He ran in the 4.2.
I hate pro day.
4.28.40.
Come on.
4.28.40 at the pro day.
Right. Oh,
no, so now you're like a pro, like a 40-yard dash snob?
Well,
Come on.
Really.
What?
No. 4.2. Pro Day 40s are notoriously. You know,
well, he's little too.
They're always going downhill.
4.32
and a half yards.
You know what I'm saying?
Like,
they've got giant fans behind
him
or whatever.
Whatever. He runs a sub 4.35.
Okay,
40.
Fine, fine,
can you,
fine.
Can you
yes,
deal
I can
with
get on
that?
Board. Yes, I can get on
but
board.
But he's,
with that.
I mean, he's
fast as hell.
He's little.
He's
too.
Fast as hell.
He's a V.
He's 5'9".
V petite.
Okay, 5'9" what? 5'9", 185? 180?
That's being generous.
That's per Roto World.
Oh,
that's,
he's a little guy.
That's
but anyways.
Smaller than Crowder.
He's definitely a deep sleeper that should be on, like, your danger zone radar. I'm just saying.
Fair enough. I like it. Let's get to the Dallas game for you Thursday night, folks. Sean Lee, Justin Durant ruled out. Same game, Jordan Reed ruled out. Vernon Davis should be the starter there in the Washington offense, but again, Sean Lee and Justin Durant being out for Dallas, not a good sign. We're still tilting over the zero from Vernon
Davis.
Still,
all right.
That was hard to swallow.
They can't get over it.
It's tough because you had to sit on it for so long.
I feel like you guys have talked about it every day this week.
It's a zero.
I will be talking about it until he catches 10 passes tonight.
It's a zero.
Unbelievable.
The zero spot's tough.
I do think the Washington offense gets back on track.
Yes.
It looked ugly
100%.
On Thanksgiving. I think they totally get back on track, especially with both of their linebackers, Alshon Lee and Justin Durant.
Yeah.
Forget about it, man. I think, and again, it's another great spot for Vernon Davis.
You would think.
It's going to be the spot for him. I don't know. Jameson Crowder looks like he's going to be a great play, too. So
yep,
I think the Washington offense definitely gets on track, puts up a big number today against Dallas. But
isn't it crazy that both of these teams have, like, had an entire week to prepare for this for this game. Like,
Thursday
both
to Thursday.
They've been doing that a lot lately on the schedule. So I think last year, some of the teams that played on Thursday for Thanksgiving were then Thursday the week after, because it doesn't totally mess up their schedule this late in the year. It still gives them a week to prepare.
It's very generous.
I like it.
Like how they give buys after the London trip and stuff like that. The NFL doesn't want to try and put teams at a huge disadvantage.
Nice.
In Atlanta, Devontae Freeman, clear concussion protocol. Looks like he is good to go Sunday versus Minnesota. My only fantasy question there is Tevin Coleman still a startable asset? He's been so good with Devontae Freeman gone, but now that he's back in the lineup, can you still play Coleman against a very good Minnesota defense? Matt Harmon, your thoughts?
I'm going to say yes out of the pure speculation that they have started to turn their offense around, and a big part of that is Tevin Coleman. That was, like, as much as people were, you know, whining about Julio Jones's lack of involvement in the offense, and for some good reason at times, but it was much more mysterious to me that, like, Coleman would just be absent for long stretches because he was a big difference maker for them last year. I think they try to get back to that.
You know what was interesting to me with Coleman's usage, though, too, was his targets. Like, last year he was such a great threat out of the backfield, but over the last 6 games, he has, like, 8 targets.
Yeah.
Including his featured games, which was what was kind of surprising.
He has 8 targets total in 6 games?
Correct.
That's crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, that is wild.
Let me make sure I did my math correct. Yes, 8 targets in 6
games. Well,
it
doesn't matter. I mean, if it's single dude, it's just that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
But wow. I'm concerned. Like, I know Coleman's been he's been good, and you watch him, he's ran really hard. He hasn't been, like, hyper efficient in these last few games filling in for Devontae Freeman
being 5 yards carry last week.
He had 2 yards of carry the week before, and, you know, four before that. So it wasn't terrible. But, like, I don't know. It's a great defense, and now that, like, Freeman's going to come back, you know they're going to want to get him in the mix. He's great. They've paid him. Like, I'm scared.
At least it's at home.
It is at home.
It makes me feel better that it's in the dome.
It is at home. But I'm just like, I was looking at this game. I'm like, man, if Freeman's still out, Coleman's going to be a great play. But if Freeman comes back, I'm like,
Yeah, I know. I think that's the big decision, I think, that a lot of folks are having. Because, again, you know, anytime you get a running back who has posted pretty good numbers, it's hard to get away from the recency bias. You know what I mean, Franch?
Yeah, for sure. But for just a report out of from ESPN.com, Von McClure, the Falcons beat reporter for ESPN.
He's a good reporter.
He said Coleman is likely to settle into the backup role.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all know he's going to be the backup. It's just, can you play him?
I don't know.
I don't know what the volume is going to be. It's tough.
I probably would play.
It's a tough call.
I would play Freeman hoping he gets a touchdown. And I don't think you can play Coleman.
They also said
it's just a bad matchup too.
Freeman was going to stay involved in the pass game, and that's really
his thing. This game could be a sneaky shootout. The Vikings, I mean, their defense is very good, but you know, their offense can put up points.
100%.
The Falcons' offense is heating up, and it's been great. So there's the hope that if this is a shootout, Coleman gets into the end zone. So
I like it.
Falcons have injuries in the secondary too. Desmond Trufant in the concussion protocol. I don't think he's cleared yet. And Brian Poole, their slot corner, was injured last week. He might play, but still it would be, you know, less than 100%.
Got the old pre-Adam Thielen injury coming in. Doesn't want to face Randy Moss 2.0 there.
Nice.
Ah, shoot, Thielen's coming. I tweaked something. Just kidding.
It is the Battle of the Bay. It's Tampa Bay versus Green Bay. Jameis Winston and his shoulder have been cleared to play Sunday. Is he back in the streaming conversation versus a Packers defense that has been absolutely shredded?
No.
I kind of think he is.
I can see the logic there, but I say no.
Okay.
He could take one hit and be out.
He could, like, also just
You don't know
be
what's
bad.
Going on with a shoulder.
Yeah. It's true.
And he could also just be bad.
I think the Packers secondary is also super banged up.
That's what I'm saying.
Demarius Randall is their quote-unquote best cover corner per Chris Collinsworth, which was one of the most baffling things I've ever heard in my life. And he's got cramps and injuries. And then their actual best cover corner, rookie Kevin King, has a shoulder injury. He, like, can't press people. He can't, like, get his arms up to stuff. He's long and he's physical. That's what he needs to do.
Oh.
So their secondary is banged up. The last 5 quarterbacks to face the Packers have finished in going in reverse order. QB1, QB22, QB14, QB7, QB10. The low ones are Joe Flacco, who I barely ever gets over QB20 anyway. So the fact that he was QB22 against the Packers in a blowout tells you how bad their secondary is. And then Mitchell Trubisky! QB14 against this defense.
Craziness.
Yeah, maybe you guys are kind of talking me into it. The Packers have the 22nd pass defense DVOA per Football Outsider. So
they're bad, dude.
Hopefully Mike Evans can get going.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They have so many weapons. It's like I wonder if it's even less about You know, Jameis, and it's more just about the weapons he's got. You know, DeSean Jackson certainly can beat somebody over the top in this Green Bay defense. Mike Evans is certainly there. Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard has developed a little bit as well. I don't know.
I think I'm getting my bold prediction for the article. I think Mike Evans gets his first 100-yard game this
year.
I actually agree. I think that happens. The volume's been there. Like, it's going to happen eventually.
It's going to happen. This is a good – but this could be a beautifully bad shootout.
It could.
Honestly.
I put that in my notes.
Jameis and Brett Hundley just going back and forth.
Yeah.
I put that exact thing in my notes.
Nice.
And I was like, I'm going to drop this during most damn games. But
most damn games.
I'm sorry.
Also,
I preempted you.
You did.
Also, if you want to see your favorite fantasy podcast crew on NFL Network on Saturday,
there it is.
We break this game down on NFL Pick'em. It airs three times Saturday and once on Sunday morning, so search for it on your DVR.
I wear a
8
stupid
a.m.
hat.
Yes, you do. 8 a.m., 3 p.m., 11 p.m. Pacific, and 6 a.m. Sunday morning.
So, yeah, if you want to see
– Eastern, not Pacific.
Eastern.
Sorry,
Eastern.
I was defaulting to the superior time
Eastern,
zone, but it
say,
is,
right.
in fact
– The best
yes.
time
Search
zone.
Your DVR
yes.
for NFL Pick'em, and it'll come up.
Watch me wearing a stupid hat and us being idiots in front of a green screen. It's great. There's your tease. What else could you possibly want?
Bro, we were –
What else
we
you
were,
need?
We filmed live at a castle.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
they flew
on
us
location.
To Scotland.
Beautiful rainbow above.
It was great. Mm, it was gorgeous.
A potential child running in the background.
Maybe not.
Mayhaps.
That's
going to
be
see.
A big turnoff for me if that happens.
Boy. There may or may not be a dragon. Probably not, but we'll see where the budget takes us. All right. Deep sleeper time. Matt Harmon, hit me.
Let's go with Dede Westbrook out of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Illustrious passing game. He's had 35.7% of the team's intended air yards over the last 2 weeks. They have obviously he is a
that's
big,
outrageous.
Yes,
man.
He's a big play threat. He's a guy that I thought was a fine college prospect. I thought some people liked him more than me, but he has legit game breaking ability, and he's been close to some big plays. He had a potential big catch down the sideline against the Arizona Cardinals last week. Didn't come down with it. So it's there. They're trying to get him involved. He saw a big jump in snaps from this first to second week. He was over 70% last game out. And this is a good matchup against the Colts defense.
So banged up.
Yes, they're banged up. They're also bad. They've allowed deep passing yardage week in and week out. I think Dede Westbrook really has a shot. He's probably going to be my bold prediction for this
Ooh,
week.
I like it, man.
Getting some teases for the bold predictions.
Right. Like NFL.com/bold predictions. You
yeah,
can also
buddy.
You can also see the bold prediction tracker where you can see James Coe just lighting it up on a week-to-week basis.
I think I whiffed on the last week, didn't
what
I?
What was this last week?
I think last week I had predicted a big game for some rando quarterback that didn't happen. I think it was a Matt Moore v. Patriots.
Oh, it was.
Top 10.
Well,
we've actually, as a team, we've had somebody absolutely nail their bold prediction 2 weeks in a row because you slam dunked your Tyrod Taylor.
Oh,
outscored.
You got your four touchdowns.
He actually threw four touchdowns.
You finally got in the green.
I know.
That was your first green spot.
I'm really excited.
That's
guys.
Good. I love
James
it.
James Coe said Matt Moore finishes as a top 10 fantasy QB, and yeah.
That didn't work out.
That's right. I said the,
didn't work out.
I said the Titans and Colts clear 50 total points. They did not.
They did not.
Oh, Fab said Mike Wallace or Jeremy Macklin will both be top 10 wide receiver, both finish in the top 20. They both probably didn't even sniff the top 20 in that game, right?
No. I think
I would doubt it.
Oof,
Wallace had 57 yards or something.
So that's what's fun about bold predictions is some slam dunk and others you just go,
just, whoa, big time whiff. Yes.
French said a buck and 50 and a touchdown for Larry Fitz.
Because I dreamt about it.
Because you dreamt about it. That's the part that I love.
I actually had a dream before, even before Thanksgiving. I woke up and
that's
was like,
that's the part that I love.
Ooh, let me get a ruling on this because I'm the one that compiles
the green-yellow
designation. Red, Adam Rank last week, Zay Jones goes for 6 receptions for 97 yards and a touch.
What did he go for?
He had 3 for 33 and a touch.
And a touch. I would give that a yellow.
That's a yellow.
It's a yellow.
Rank has been the freaking master of bold predictions this
year.
He went green, yellow, green, red, DNP. Because when you're a stud, you can just take weeks off.
It was his bye week.
His bye week.
Yellow, red, green, yellow, green.
Well,
wow!
Smashing. It's like if you look at the chart at the bottom of the article, it's like right in the middle there. Rank is just killing it.
That's my favorite part about the article is the chart of tracking it all for us.
Oh yeah. Not only that, though, he's also been absolutely destroying Danger Zone as well, which is, I mean, come on. It is insane what he's doing in Danger Zone.
I think it helps he's doubled up some of them, though, his bold predictions and Danger Zone.
You
so
might
he's,
be right.
Because last week, Danger
right.
Zone was
Zay
Jones.
You're right.
And it was his bold prediction.
Might have to change the name of the segment to Safe Zone.
Safe Zone.
Yeah. Ooh.
I mean, the guys he's picking are just random as hell. I mean, I love it. Moral, how he's doing it.
Moral of the story, Adam freaking Rank is a god.
All right, so speaking of random as hell players, franchise.
French, what you got?
My nice derp work. Slurper is a rookie wide receiver in the Rams, Josh Reynolds,
who we saw
pop up on the radar touchdown last week. First game with Robert Woods out. There was a storyline Sunday morning he'd be involved. He actually was. He went for 4 for 37 and a touchdown. He played 81% of the snaps, so they slotted him right in. He was out there almost the entire game. Plays against Arizona this week. Arizona has a pretty bad pass defense.
Indeed, they do.
And I think if you're looking for a deep sleeper, Josh Reynolds is
your
guy.
Oh, but Patrick Peterson!
He'll be on Sammy Watkins.
He's taking out Watkins.
No, I mean, I
think
know,
it's a
but
big
it's,
cup
it's
Reynolds
just,
game.
It's just funny to me because, you know, it's like people want to jump into your mentions all the damn time when you're like, Arizona's secondary is not good.
Yes.
And they're like, Patrick Peterson, though, bro. He's the best in the league. Double P, let's go.
Look,
it's like, all right, dude, yeah, we get it. But for fantasy, it doesn't matter because Arizona's getting shredded.
Right, no one's denying that. Just look at the numbers.
Look at the damn numbers.
Those people
damn
aren't it. Looking at the numbers.
They're not. They're not spending enough time looking at the numbers.
Yes.
WizKid, what you got?
I'm going with Julius Thomas.
Why?
Can I ask why? Here's why.
Here we go.
Couple reasons.
All right.
He's had 4-plus targets in each of the last 4 weeks. Yeah. Hasn't turned into a whole hell of a lot of production.
I'm sold.
No, hold on. He went for 84 and a touch in one of those weeks, 8 and a touch in another week, 30 and no touch, and 52 and no touch.
That's not bad.
But let's not forget, he's playing the Broncos, who give up a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns to tight ends.
Yes.
And it's revenge!
Oh, my God.
He's coming back against him.
But wait a second. It's a double revenge game. They Miami just picked up A.J. Derby.
Oh.
Right.
The double revenge game at the tight
Thomas
end position.
And Adam Gase.
There's so much revenge in this game.
That's why it's Julius Thomas week, baby.
There's so much revenge.
Vance Joseph.
And
also revenge.
It's double revenge.
Although, is it revenge if you
decided to leave
and like you also got a job you probably weren't qualified for? Is it still revenge then?
Ooh,
like, thanks for letting me hang out in Miami for a while. Now I get a promotion to a job that I'm not thriving in.
Right.
Shall we say?
But
right
he's having
the time of his life.
You guys can be as excited as you want about Miami versus Denver, but
you're out.
I'll be watching.
I'm in on James Coe's deep sleeper.
AJ Derby?
No. You're one on your paper. No,
yeah, Travis.
No, not AJ Derby.
He just got picked up. He was also like, wasn't he like technically on IR for a bit for the Broncos?
I'm gonna laugh if what happens is Julius Thomas has like a solid game, like a 6 for 62,
and AJ Derby
gets
the
one touchdown game.
There it is.
I think that will happen. I just predicted
the future.
Bold prediction right there. Boom.
Jay Cutler's back for this game too.
Yes.
Don't care.
Okay.
Just saying.
Travis Benjamin.
He doesn't either.
Travis Benjamin, the speedster, the Charger, taking on Cleveland. You know, Mike Williams.
A revenge game.
Oh,
the
my
Travis
God.
Benjamin
so
revenge.
So much revenge.
There's so much revenge in this rundown. Jeez. I can't handle it. I can't handle all this revenge. Travis Benjamin taking on Cleveland in a revenge game, as Matt Harmon has noted. But Mike Williams out for that Chargers attack as well. Should open up a few more targets downfield anyways for Travis Benjamin. We saw the Chargers actually utilize Travis Benjamin a hell of a lot more in their first 6 games when Mike Williams was gone. And then, you know, they went into a more traditional style offense. Once Mike Williams came back, it was great results. But now that he's gone, I wonder where they go. Travis Benjamin might see a few more targets in this game, and what the hell, why not? Phillip Rivers is absolutely cooking right now. So give me a piece of that offense.
Yeah, buddy.
Give me a piece of that offense. Travis Benjamin versus Cleveland. All right. Let me tell you about a great product. It is called Oil Can Hancock's Man Spray. Oil Can Hancock's are built in America with pride, crafted for those who are not afraid to get dirty and keep on going.
Mm.
All available at a great price, plus for a limited time, you can use the code NFLFAN30 for 30% off your order, plus free shipping at www.buyoch.com.
Harmon, you're rocking a little right now, you said, right?
I am Harmon, currently wearing it right now.
Take a whiff of yourself.
Take a whiff of yourself.
Do you need to freshen up?
Nah, bro.
That was a deep whiff.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That was Tony Montana levels of whiff.
No comment. No, it's good stuff. I don't need to freshen up because I'm wearing
oil can handcuffs.
OCH right now.
I agree. Baby. I also use it and I like it.
It's there a good little. I get out of the shower.
Yes.
You know, spray.
It's perfect for that time. Yes.
That moment.
Yes. That moment.
That
in your day.
Moment.
It is. It's good. It's good.
I don't know what flavor or not flavor.
Flavor.
Scent.
Oh my.
Scent.
I don't know what scent I have though because it's like
talking about getting out of showers and what flavor OCH.
You're welcome,
is.
Listeners.
Mean,
this is a hot description.
What's happening? I don't like.
But anyways,
it. Use
great
the code.
Gift, continue.
Great gift idea for the men in your life.
Buy OCH.com.
NFL fan 30. For 30% off your order plus free shipping, by OCH.com. All right, let's get to MDG. Most damn games.
Most.
You can find every damn game at NFL.com/fantasy.
Is that a new website? I've never heard of that.
You've never heard of the old NFL.com.
Underground website.
That's right. Underground like this.
I go to NFL.net.
NFL.net.com. Here we go. KC taking on the Jets. They are in New Jersey. Alex Gilhar, what do you got?
I'm not starting Alex Smith at this point.
Nope.
He's averaging 223 yards per game with 4 touchdowns and 4 picks over his last 4. That's it's not great, Bob.
Nope.
And with no teams on buys, there's plenty of other quarterbacks to look to if you're hurting. Kareem Hunt, I mean, we were talking about this the other night. I think at the bar probably, or maybe at our desk.
Probably.
It all merges
either
together.
At the bar or the coffee shop.
But
you're just pissed because you weren't there.
It's frustrating because Kareem Hunt's getting the volume. He's not producing, but it's like, who else do you start him for if you bench him? I don't have a ton of insight into whether or not he's going to bounce back.
The Jets have been playing really good run
defense. They have been playing really good run defense. That's what the whole thing is. It's kind of an underrated defense, and the Chiefs are on the road, so not in love with anybody. Travis Kelce, you're starting him. Tyreek Hill's boom or bust. I don't know what else to tell you about him. We should know that by now.
I wrote up the Jets as a streaming defense if you're super desperate.
It's a decent pick.
If you're feeling lucky.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and the Chiefs' offense is just completely
broken
right now.
They've just been so terrible.
Yeah.
It's true. On the flip side, Josh McCown, man.
I like it.
Stud.
He's an every week starter.
Fire him up.
Over his last 7 games, he scored 16 total touchdowns with just 5 picks, and he's throwing 246 yards per game.
Amazing.
I think the Chiefs' defense has improved a little bit over their recent run, but that's thanks to playing Eli Manning, Trevor Siemian, Tyrod Taylor, and
right.
like a broken Dak Prescott a little bit still too. So I'm not overrating that. I think McCown, Robbie Anderson are good starts. Not touching this backfield like at all. I don't know about you guys.
Matt
but
Forte
no,
still
no.
dinged up. Elijah McGuire is going to get some run.
Why would you want to hate yourself like that?
Yeah, I mean, they've only had like one good week since that week 4 explosion when Elijah McGuire and Bilal Powell ripped off like 70-yard touchdown runs.
Yep.
And
do
it's just
yourself.
It's bad.
There you go.
And then ASJ, like, he's been frustrating. These poor guys had more touchdowns taken off the board than I think anybody in NFL history in one season from weird catch rules.
I think we have Dez Bryant on line one.
Hey, he had one touchdown taken off the board.
That's highlight bias. You're remembering one big moment.
Highlight bias. I like it. But he's getting high-value targets in the end zone, despite the fact that he's getting those touchdowns overturned. He's still getting targeted there, and he's dropped one there, so I think he's worth a stream.
All right, there you go. I like it. Patriots taking on the Bills. Matt Franchise, what do you got?
Yeah, I don't think you need much analysis about Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski. You're starting them. Yeah, they're good.
Okay.
For all the shade we threw Brandon Cooks in the preseason of like people thinking he was a top
consistent.
Wide, he's a wide receiver 5 right now in standard.
Good.
He's had, I mean, obviously injuries have helped kind of lead him to this position.
Hogan's been out for like a month.
Julian Edelman's been out since the beginning of the season. Hogan, Gronk has missed a few games still.
But the thing I loved about him though this year is that he's been consistent.
It's consistent yardage.
Yeah.
And reception totals, double-digit PPR points in 6 of his last 7 games, 6 catches in each of his last 3, and I think he has a touchdown in each
That's
of those
great,
last
man.
2. So you're firing up Cooks against the Bills, who don't have a great pass defense. And then for the Patriots running backs, Rex Burkhead and Deion Lewis, I think you can safely start both of these guys.
100%.
The Bills have allowed a league-high 14 total touchdowns to running backs. They're allowing 143 scrimmage yards to the position. So start both of those guys. Buffalo's offensive players, the Patriots are allowing 13.1 points per game to opposing teams in the last 7 games. So their defense has tightened up after
a
rough start.
Yeah, I agree.
So they're no longer that start all of your players against type of matchup.
Yep.
I think you still can stream Tyrod, hope he gets you some rushing yards, and maybe chase some garbage points in the second
Should
half.
Should be negative game – or, like, at least pass-heavy game script for the Bills,
right.
I would think.
And Shady McCoy, you're probably starting him. He's accounted for 30.5% of the Bills' offensive scrimmage yards this year. That's third most in the league behind Lev Bell and Todd Gurley. But the Patriots like to shut down other teams' biggest weapons, so just, you know, temper expectations. Charles Clay, I think you can stream at tight end, hope for some volume. He's not a huge touchdown upside guy, and right. maybe Zay Jones is a deep play.
Maybe. Detroit taking on Baltimore in Baltimore. Alex Collins missed practice on Wednesday with a calf injury. Don't know his status as of yet. Something to keep an eye on. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Yeah, let's hope that Alex Collins can get back out there because he has been really the only good thing about the Ravens' offensive attack.
He's looked good.
If you can call it that. He's been awesome really all year, and they've obviously turned over the keys to the car to Alex Collins. The Lions allow their run defense has kind of started to break down over the last few weeks. I believe they've allowed 136, 222, and 200 total rushing yards over the last 3 weeks. And so I think you're firing up Alex Collins if he's out there and hoping for a good game, especially being in Baltimore. He's a player that I really like this week. The rest of the Ravens, no.
It's legitimately
hashtag never Ravens.
It is, and I think if you can tell yourself like a decent story about Jeremy Maclin, just because he plays you know about 60% of his time in the slot, and he's going to avoid Darius Slay on the outside because of that. But it's just not been there coming out of the bye like I expected it to be. So he's more of like a desperation wide receiver three play if you're really hurting. And then other than that, that is just a straight no for the Ravens offense.
Their whole passing attack is hamstrung. Like some stuff from the research packet. Among 35 qualified quarterbacks, Joe Flacco ranks last in yards per attempt with 5.3, 32nd in yards per game with 170, tied for 31st in interceptions with 11.
It is and horrendous.
Their pass catchers have only had 3 instances all year where one of them has had more than 57 yards in a game.
Oh, boy.
3. Like, wow. Collectively, between Wallace, Maclin, Perriman, Watson,
wow.
Even the running backs.
Yeah. That's not good.
3. 3 times.
We'll stay with you, Alex Gilhar. Minnesota taking on Atlanta. What do you got?
Right, we
got
to talk about the Lions.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Well, don't disrespect the Lions.
Well, good Lord. I mean, you just spent, you know, all your time just
I didn't know I was on a time limit.
Taking a blowtorch to Baltimore's offense.
So let's talk about a good offense here. I still like the Lions offense in this game, even though the Ravens theoretically have a tough defense. I saw, you know, I think Tom Savage kind of looked okay against them on
Monday
night.
He made some throws. He also made some horrific throws.
He did some Tom Savage things, but he also still made some throws. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins really took it to Jimmy Smith on Monday night, and that makes me feel a lot better about starting Marvin Jones. I mean, I think you know what you're getting yourself into with Marvin Jones.
Yep.
Like, he could easily go for, you know, 3 for 20 or something like that, but he could also have a big blow-up game like he did on Thanksgiving on a lot of people's benches. So I think for the rest of the way, you do not sit Marvin Jones. You play him every single week, and there's that. Golden Tate, I think – you know, the Ravens have been really good against slot receivers, but I think you probably want to just try to roll him back out there and hope for the best.
Yeah, it's crazy that Marvin Jones is a top 10 wide receiver, and people just – it's so hard to play him. That's what's crazy about fantasy this year. We got
for
top 10.
For more on Marvin Jones,
check out Konos.
Great article this week.
NFL.com.
Underrated wide receivers.
Wouldn't have even got that plug in there if you had just – if you'd continue on your plan to silence me.
Box you out.
Wow.
Box me out and the Lions. I'm here for you, Detroit, but not your running backs.
All right.
Don't play those.
Yeah, no.
Amir Abdullah dealing with a neck injury, so FYI, if you care.
No one does.
Meh.
Okay, Minnesota taking on Atlanta in hot Atlanta. Alex Gilhar, what do you got?
This is Minnesota, man, is having a run of really interesting games and really exciting games here. I think starting on their side of the ball, we can't go away from Case Keenum, the NFC Offensive Player of the Month.
That's correct.
Hell yeah.
Lighten it up.
Over the last 3 weeks, he's been the QB5, the QB13, and the QB3. He's averaging 289 passing yards per game with 8 total touchdowns, just 2 picks. So he's lighting it up. As Harmon, you know, you mentioned, there's some injuries to the Falcons secondary there,
so that's pretty good. Dude uses his legs more than I remember him.
He is, as broadcasters
quick,
like to say,
dude.
Sneaky athletic.
Yes, he is.
You know who I always go back to the magical 2013 Case Keenum moment. But like, remember when he first got out there, people kind of compared him to like a poor man's Tony Romo. Yeah, that's
kind of
bad.
That is kind of who he, that's kind of who he plays as. Like, he's not gonna, you know, rip off like Tyrod Taylor, Cam Newton type rushing numbers, but he can move around and especially can elude defenders in the pocket. Yeah. Definitely seen that a lot.
Since Minnesota's bye, they've put more of an emphasis on running Latavius Murray. He's averaging 82 yards per game since the Week 9 bye and has scored 4 rushing touchdowns in that span. So I think you want to start him, but this could also be a good Jerick McKinnon game. Mm-hmm. I know we said that last week, didn't really pan out, but Atlanta historically bleeds receptions to pass catching backs. They still do this year. No team has allowed more receptions to backs than the Falcons with 71. And if this game does go high scoring, McKinnon could certainly be in play. We're starting Thielen and Diggs. I really shouldn't need to tell anybody anything about that. I know you probably haven't been as thrilled with Diggs' production since he came back, but he hasn't been like cratering your lineup either. Yeah. And he had a touchdown a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And then Rudolph has 4 catches in 7 straight games now. And like his yardage totals haven't been great. He has a high of 63 in that span. He also has 4 touchdowns. And like at tight end, if you're getting 4 catches a game, why
not? He's a tight end one.
Matt Ryan, I think, is a decent start here. He's at home. He's been heating up. Worry about the Minnesota pass defense a little bit, but I think the Falcons offense is hitting its stride. We already kind of talked about the running backs. We're starting Julio Jones. I think Sanu's a decent flex. Other than that, don't want to start Austin Hooper against this great defense shutting down tight ends, and I don't think either defense is really in play in this one from a fantasy perspective.
Fair enough. Tampa Bay at Green Bay. We talked about this game a little bit, but Doug Martin – dealing with a concussion, for those of you who care about Doug Martin, which I don't imagine is many.
Not
people.
Many.
Don't play Doug Martin.
I mean, definitely pick up Jaquizz Rodgers if he's out there. If you are a Doug Martin owner forced to have to play Doug Martin, add Jaquizz and plug him in if Martin's out. Like Gilhar said, this might be one of those beautifully bad shootouts. We didn't talk about Davante Adams' outlook, who I think is in line for a big game against the Bucks defense, who's the only team allowing 200-plus yards per game to opposing wide receivers.
Crazy.
We just watched Julio Jones shred them last week. And Davante Adams' target totals last 4 games, 10, 8, 10, and 8. So he's getting a lot of looks from Brett Hundley.
Okay.
I also like Jamal Williams. I wrote him up in FedEx Aaron Ground this week.
Yeah, dude.
He has been on the field for over 80% of the snaps each of the last 2 weeks, 47 touches in that span, and the Bucs are a favorable matchup. He's produced against unfavorable matchups against the Ravens and Steelers the last 2 weeks. This is a favorable matchup, so if he gets that volume, he's going to get those goal line touches. I think he could be a top 10 guy again this weekend.
I couldn't believe it when I saw it, but Tampa Bay giving up nearly 400 yards per game.
One note on Jamal Williams: Aaron Jones is practicing on like a and getting like a trial run today per Coach Mike McCarthy. So he could come back, and if he does, he will certainly muddle the outlook of that backfield.
Dang it!
I just saw that on Twitter.
Doubt
a
he's back
ago.
This week, right? But like definitely probably next week.
But it's still something to watch because they if he's active and it's like, oh, we're gonna give him 10, 15 touches or something like that. I don't think they
who
do
are
that.
The active backs for Green Bay? It's Jamal Williams,
Devontae Mays, and Aaron Ripkowski.
Did he even see the field last week?
No, he was in total doghouse because he fumbled on one of his 2 carries the week before.
He fumbled right away.
It's him and the Ripper. Huh? Okay, I like it. where are we here? Houston at Tennessee. What do we got in this AFC South battle, Matt Harmon?
Well, we mentioned that Tom Savage looked kind of good for Tom Savage.
He looked serviceable.
He made some throws. He made some throws there on Monday Night Football. But last week we saw the Titans defense actually get up and take it to the Colts in Indianapolis. They only gave up 165 passing yards in total. But I think that was like a Jacoby Brissett thing. He did not play well in that game. Definitely looked bothered by the pressure, which I don't blame him at this point because he's been getting beat up all year. So I don't know how I feel. I'm not going to suggest you stream Tom Savage or anything like that against the Titans. But I think this is a great spot for DeAndre Hopkins. Maybe even if Will Fuller gets back. I don't know if we know that he's going to be back or not in this game, but it would be a pretty good spot against the Titans secondary that can give up big plays, especially we saw 2 weeks ago against the Steelers. They really got hammered by Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger on deep passes. So Fuller might be like an interesting guy if he gets back out there.
You mean Pro Bowler Bruce Ellington?
I mean, Bruce Ellington has been getting volume.
Yeah.
So
Bruce
there's that.
Bowl, Bruce Bowl.
Hashtag Bruce Bowl. Bruce for the Pro Bowl. That's
Bruce Bowl is working. I feel like
getting some hashtags.
We're getting some hashtag
I'm
going
to add a column to my tweet deck for it.
just Bruce Bowl.
Hashtag Bruce Bowl. I feel like there's going to be some weird stuff that pops up in there, but that's what Twitter's
exactly.
about. On the Titans side, Marcus Mariota has just been a nightmare this year. He's thrown a touchdown on 2.9% of his passes, which is – the 28th, I think, in the NFL among starting quarterbacks.
That doesn't sound good.
Not good. Corey Davis has – people have been trying to make it happen with Corey Davis, but it's not. And, like, quite frankly, this is just a thing about, like, how impatient we are with, receivers and rookies in general. I mean, for Corey Davis to be out there for 75, 86.7, 83.1, and 72.4% of the snaps the last 4 weeks
– yeah.
That's good sign for a rookie. Like, that's a good thing that they trust him that much. Like, that's a good note for a rookie. He's just not going to produce in fantasy this year because his quarterback is struggling and he's, you know, not ready yet.
Well, and if you watch him play, too, they have zero chemistry.
Yeah. Well, which is to be expected. Like, he missed a chunk of training camp with the hamstring injury. Then he missed a chunk of the regular season. He was barely out there in preseason at all.
It's like the exact opposite. Like, when I watch, you know, when you watch Doug Baldwin and Russell Wilson, they have like a mind meld. You know what I mean?
Yeah, those guys are familiar with each other.
Exactly.
And these guys could not be farther from that.
Exactly.
So I just think it's a general point about how impatient we are as fans. Like, people, you can't say anything about Corey Davis just yet.
No,
but
absolutely.
Yeah.
Not.
So,
yeah.
But that doesn't really matter for fantasy. But like, in terms of what does matter for fantasy is like the running backs for these Tennessee Titans. Like,
yeah.
They should just give Derrick Henry the bulk of the rushing work and let DeMarco Murray work on passing downs. But we have no indication they're going to do that, so these two backs are going to be frustrating, you know, even in a pretty decent spot.
All right, Cleveland traveling here to L.A., taking on LCH. Alex Gilhar, what do you got?
Well, we don't want to target a ton of the Cleveland offense. Isaiah Crowell's kind of been decent the last few weeks. I mean, you can maybe start the backfield. Maybe Corey Coleman from a volume standpoint. Let's address the elephant in the room, Josh Gordon coming back. I know, Chris, you were saying,
right.
Or Francis was telling me before the pod that you had Mary Kay Cabot.
Yeah, I had Mary Kay Cabot on Chargers Weekly.
Chris got some nugs here.
Check out the Chargers Browns Weekly pod.
Beat reporter.
She's fantastic. I had her on yesterday. The podcast just published on Chargers.com.
And what was she saying about Mr. Gordon?
So she said that they're going to try to get him the ball as much as possible, and that she talked to some people on Wednesday that said Gordon was instantly the best player on the field. So, I don't know. I think the Browns are in a position where they're, you know, you pull out all stops to get a win. And the fact that you have Corey Coleman on the other side who had 19 targets, I believe, the last 2 weeks, that says something. But I will say this. Casey Hayward, AFC Defensive Player of the Month, one has been playing better at the cornerback position than Casey Hayward.
That's
And he's shadowing a lot of top options, too. So.
He is, yeah. He's not. It's not
is
like
he going to play Sunday? Because he's dealing with that personal issue.
You know what? I don't know. I don't know. But I don't want to speculate here because I'm not sure.
That's what I'm saying.
But if he does play, you know, chances are he'll probably shadow Gordon.
Casey Hayward has, if you don't know, Casey Hayward has had to deal with a lot of tragedy in his life, like legit tragedy. Brother was a brother-in-law or someone in his family, from what I understand, I guess passed away in a car accident.
Yeah, I just saw. I mean, I've seen the headline, and I don't know what Casey's status is now. I know he was on the injury report / personal reasons,
frustrated
for not being at practice. But
I think he told teammates that he's
gonna
come back out there and play. Okay. So, even if he doesn't, Trevor Williams is a guy that deserves
he's been playing
more
really,
credit.
Really well.
I'm writing a bit about him in the Next Gen Stats column that goes up later today.
Oh, great.
54 targets in coverage, 48.1% completion rate allowed, just 380 yards, three touchdowns, two picks, and a 74.6 passer rating.
That's pretty good.
Wow. He's been a hell of a find for them as like a 2016 UDFA.
Yeah, people thought the sky was falling when Verrett went down.
100%.
And then Trevor Williams comes in undrafted and is – playing really well.
That's a great pickup.
On the other side of Hayward.
But so the point is, I don't think I'm starting Josh Gordon just in his first game back. Dude hasn't played in over 1,000 days.
Yeah.
Like that's not an exaggeration.
That's
he has
crazy.
Not played in over 1,000 days on an actual game NFL football field.
That's so crazy.
Hopefully you guys picked him up and have him stashed. If you want to roll the dice with him,
no.
Be my guest. But I am taking a total wait-and-see approach here. We've had coaches lie to us about this stuff.
Hardline stance.
Especially the one who is currently
especially
speaking.
Earth moved when RG3 tried out for me, Hugh Jackson.
I don't believe.
Color me skeptical, Hugh, that Josh Gordon is going to get pummeled with targets.
I think Hugh's name should be Hugh Color Me Skeptical Jackson. Like, just honestly going forward.
And is Kaiser really going to have chemistry with Josh Gordon right from the jump?
After a week
Mary,
of practice?
Mary Kay did just tweet out a pretty nice video of Josh Gordon making a one-handed catch.
Yeah, oh, great. Was he next to Terrell Pryor?
Yeah, I was going to say.
He was completely wide open.
Are they at the pearly gates?
When has that led us wrong before? Never. But next
he looks good.
Next week.
Against the Packers.
Yeah, could be a good spot for both him and Coleman. Because Coleman has been getting a ton
of
volume.
Just going to say it right now. Next week is Josh Gordon week.
Next week is Josh Gordon. He's putting it on the record now.
Oh, boy.
NFL.com/bold predictions.
I thought you were recording me.
Predictions.
Josh Gordon week.
No, it's not.
He's holding up a phone to my face in the podcast.
No, I was reading something on my phone.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, when you're super old, you have to hold the phone close to your face.
Wow. Age discrimination.
Wow.
Age discrimination. I was reading a message on my phone.
You're not helping your case,
Sorry.
Buddy.
Anyways.
You're not that famous where I need to record you during the pod.
Okay. Chargers.
Roasted back.
Not quite.
Roast backs.
Chargers. I think we want Phillip Rivers, Keenan Allen totally in our lineups. Hunter Henry had a good game, had a couple good games recently. He's also disappeared, but the Browns are susceptible to tight ends, as we know, so this could be a good spot for him.
I agree.
The backfield, Melvin Gordon should get a ton of volume. Cleveland has been very strong against the run, although they did just give up a career day to Joe Mixon last week.
It was
finally the week. But, Gordon should get the volume to produce reasonable totals. Don't feel as great about Eckler in this game just because I worry. I don't know. The game script could go where he doesn't get as many touches. He's great in that versatile role when they're putting up points. But, that's about it. I love
Phillip Rivers in this game, man.
I think I have him as my QB2 in rankings.
Wow.
I don't really care about rankings.
Hell yeah, let's go.
Chargers wearing the Air Coryell Royal Blues with the gold face mask on Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah.
The gold face mask, too?
Yep.
Let's go.
Although the powder blues are still my favorite.
Yeah, those are kind of dope as well. LA Rams taking on the Arizona Cardinals in the desert. Matt Franchise, what do you got?
After being age discriminated against, I'm not going to give any more analysis.
Okay,
so pass.
Well, no, this is a perfect game for you. It's got Larry Fitzgerald.
The Cardinals are your team. Speaking of
they're your team.
Phillip Rivers and Jared Goff, they were both my Aaron Ground quarterbacks this week, even though they were Aaron Ground nominees last week. Feels kind of lazy to repeat, but they both have really good matchups. I like Goff a lot in this game. The last time they played Arizona was in London in week 7. Goff threw a touchdown pass, and he rushed for a touchdown pass. Arizona's allowing the most rushing touchdowns to quarterbacks, which is just kind of an interesting stat. I don't think it means Goff's going to get another one in this game.
Yeah.
But Arizona's run defense is pretty stout, so they have teams attack them through the air. They're allowing 402 pass attempts. That's fourth most against in the NFL. So I think it's a nice game for Goff. I think it's a nice game for Cooper Kupp. Josh Reynolds was my deep sleeper. And just on the note of Arizona having a tough run defense, Todd Gurley had 26 touches against them, 106 yards and a touchdown in week 7. So I don't think you have to worry about him. Maybe temper expectations
His involvement in the passing game helps him beat these terrible matchups.
Yeah. And then on the Cardinals side, you're starting Larry Fitzgerald for the volume. Maybe Adrian Peterson.
Didn't
you're
he pop
up
on
the
injury report with a neck
Who,
injury or something?
AP?
Peterson
yeah.
did? Yes,
yeah.
he did.
I don't know.
Yeah, he did.
Although I think they were describing it more as a vet day for him. But
okay.
I don't think the neck injury is serious.
The Rams' rush defense is their major weakness there. So, fire up AP for the volume upside.
Yeah, it says he did not practice.
Streaming
that's,
Gabbert?
That's, I'm not touching Gabbert. I mean.
I could kind of be into it.
You got to be in rough – pretty rough shape to be
streaming.
Would
you stream
Gabbert,
Blaine
or
Gabbert,
two quarterback
would,
league?
Could you stream Blaine Gabbert or Geno Smith?
How about Blaine Gabbert?
Gabbert.
It's Gabbert, but how about Gabbert or Jameis Winston?
Winston.
I'd go Winston.
Okay. Harmon looking around.
You have to be in rough shape to start Gabbert.
I really don't
trust
Let's
not
James
forget
Winston.
About Ricky Seals-Jones.
Yes!
Dude, instead of ASJ, we got RSJ now.
RSJ.
Yeah.
Ricky three Seals touchdowns Jones. In the last two games, I think.
He has three touchdowns. This is as many initials.
By the way,
pretty much every fantasy analyst has written about him this week. So. Yes.
By the way, though, Garoppolo. Gabbert, in his two starts, has been the QB8 and QB14 in fantasy.
Yeah, no, he's
getting it done.
Awesome.
And against one of those was against Jacksonville, right? Right?
Correct.
That's
last
crazy.
Week.
The lesser, yeah.
That's craziness.
So
right.
And he can
good.
Run.
He's got upside. He's got a cannon arm, and he's in the Bruce Arians offense where he loves to chuck it deep. He's also hashtag sneaky athletic because he's a white quarterback who can run.
Right.
True.
That's what you have to label him.
I
you can't
see.
Say
Fort,
anything
yeah.
else per the media. Right. So there's a lot of stories for fantasy upside. He's not a great quarterback by any stretch, but when you're coming in fantasy,
I don't know. I think he's really looked good in that Arizona offense.
He's looked solid.
Plus, yeah. they're really trying to like spin it. It's like, hey, we're okay heading into 2018 with Gabbert as our guy. They're already putting that spin on it.
Oh, yeah.
I think some of the beat reporters have said, like, if he plays well, he could get $7 to $10 million this year. Like,
what?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What a career resurgence for Blaine.
Unbelievable.
I mean, yeah, he's like you said, he's legit looked good.
Giants taking on Oakland, the Raiders in Oakland.
Do we need to say anything
else
about this game?
I feel like we've kind of hit this one.
Sunday Night Football, Philadelphia at Seattle. Alex Gelhar, what do you got?
Harmon, since we just stole Oakland Giants from you, if you want to chime in more on this one, too. I haven't fully.
I don't need permission.
Silence him.
I come whenever I need.
Wow.
Put Harmon on mute.
Wow.
Please.
Wow.
Okay.
I haven't fully dove into this game yet for matchups, but, I mean, this is one you would expect to be high scoring on both sides. Seattle's at home. Their offense, you know, the offensive line sucks. They can't run the ball. But I think we're starting Jimmy Graham. We're starting Doug Baldwin. Paul Richardson's probably a nice, like, dart throw in what could be a high scoring game. I know
he
was in your air yards deep sleepers thing.
He was too.
And, like, that guy just doesn't know how to make routine catches. Like, whenever he gets targeted, it's like toe tap on the sideline. He's diving over two guys. He's, like, coming back under the ball. It's a lot of fun to watch. J.D. McKissic may be in the deep sleeper range, too.
Ooh.
Especially because Seattle can't run the ball, and the Eagles have a great run defense, but might use McKissic on some swing passes and stuff, kind of like the upside there. We're starting Carson Wentz. You don't need me to tell you that. You're starting Zach Ertz. You don't need me to tell you that. The backfield, I don't know how to feel about the backfield for the Eagles in this game. The Seahawks have been playing pretty good run defense of late, and it's such a committee.
Yeah, it's
and if they're, like, trading blows through the air, I probably just want to, like, avoid the Eagles' backfield if I can, because each guy's going to get, like, 8 to 10 touches or whatever, and, you know, you're just banking on a touchdown at that point. But I think
– and LeGarrette Blount, too, is that style of bruising running back that Seattle usually eats up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's not – I don't think it's a good Blount week.
It's not a good Blount week. Maybe you go for a dart throw with Ajayi and hope that he gets featured more in the passing tack. But Jeffrey, maybe Aguilar as well. Certainly.
Yeah, I like Aguilar. And the Seahawks, like, if you just look at the – I believe the rest of their defenders, when it's Richard Sherman getting targeted, they give up, like, a sub-45 passer rating, and the rest of the defenders is, like, well over 80. So
yeah,
it's a stark difference. So I would play Jeffrey. I'd probably play Aguilar in this spot, and like you mentioned, Ertz and Wentz are obvious.
Yeah.
It's going to be, from a real-life football perspective, I'm just interested to see, okay, it's Philadelphia's such a young team, you know, but this really feels like at this point in the season now, we're going to week 13, they're on the road,
well, and
Sunday night football in Seattle.
They've been smashing some cupcakes, and like Seattle,
you know what I'm saying?
Seattle has their issues, but you're going into Russ's house.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like a real temperature game here.
I'm excited as hell to watch this game.
I am too, man.
When the Seahawks have the ball, it's going to be fun to watch, because the Eagles, I mean, they've been an incredible defense. They have 160 pressures this year. The next highest team is 143.
Their D-line is so deep. They haven't like suffered any injuries, and they've got a good rotation. Like, that was one thing they talked about in one of their primetime games. I think it was Gruden or somebody listed, like, there's 7 or 8 guys that they rotate in, and it's like they don't get tired and they just harass you. But they might get tired chasing Russ. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Russ also, he has an 87 pass rating thrown into tight windows per Next Gen Stats. That's the best in the NFL, and he has an 87.3 pass rating versus pressure, which is the fourth best.
I honestly don't think Russ is getting enough credit this year.
No,
like, for how he's got like 3,000 yards by himself.
For how
he's unbelievable.
He's played too. Like, if his team had two more wins, like if they'd snuck out a couple of those close games, like had they beat Washington and had they beat Atlanta the other
MVP
week,
discussion.
Like he would be like probably a front runner for MVP.
I think he's like third right now
behind
Brady
Wentz and Brady.
Wentz.
And they have no run game, but they still don't have a rushing touchdown from their running backs.
Oh my God.
And
wow.
And the Eagles are allowing 43.5 rush yards per game to running backs, and the Seattle backfield is averaging like 63 rush yards per game from their backfield.
So it's a stoppable force meeting an immovable
object.
It's
the worst rushing offense against the best rushing defense, so it's going to be all Russell
Wilson. So naturally, Eddie Lacy's going to have
a Eddie Lacy's going for $150.
Mike Davis might
come back.
Amazing.
J.D. McKissic maybe gets 4 touches.
Anyways, this game should be phenomenal. Start your passing
options
in this game and sit back, get your popcorn ready.
Monday Night Football, Pittsburgh. Cincinnati in the jungle. French, what do you got?
All right, let's check all the boxes. You're starting Lev Bell. You're starting AB.
Yeah.
You're starting AJ Green.
Why?
Because they're hashtag good.
Well, we can say Brown and Green are good, but you know, Le'Veon Bell, who knows?
Yeah.
Running back.
Jury's
talent,
out.
Talent agnostic.
Wow.
We're just kidding.
I'm not kidding. I don't believe in running back.
Just trying
back talent.
To get this, I was
okay.
just trying to get
the
this in
through.
And out in
yeah,
and out of
really
here.
Yeah,
and now we're off the rails.
Okay. Shocking.
AJ Green, you're starting him. The big story for the Steelers is, will Juju Smith-Schuster play? I think they said there's a chance he plays.
Yeah.
He's questionable with a hamstring. Didn't
it really
play last
sounds
week.
50-50 right 50-50, now.
And it's a Monday night game, so if you wait it out, you really don't have any other options unless right. you have Martavis Bryant on your roster.
That extra day of rest, though, might help him
right.
get on the
so
field.
That's the positive thing. It's just like the late game, if you wait it out, you're kind of screwed.
It's true.
So just keep an eye on that through. Maybe you'll get news by, like, Saturday on him.
I feel like I probably just wouldn't bother.
Yeah.
And just try to find another option. Cause
yeah, well, like, have a backup plan, but I think if he practices on Saturday.
I don't even know if the trouble is because it's
Cincinnati
Monday.
Cincinnati has a good pass defense.
They do.
So.
Well, the big trouble is because it's Monday night, and, like, this game has 16-18 written all over it again.
Right,
like,
right.
I don't want anything to do with Ben in this game.
Or Dalton. Or Joe Mixon.
No, thank you. Because these teams, I mean, they're rivals. They always play down to lower scoring games. They know each other. There's probably going to be a fight.
And like, they hate each other.
It's definitely Big Ben's come back to earth game.
Right. He's on the road. It's an underrated pass defense. It's a division rival. Like, that's why I think, like, if this game was in, like, the early slate, maybe you'd consider starting Juju. But because it's Monday, and then, like, your backup option is going to be what? Brandon LaFell?
Right,
like,
right.
Maybe
Tyler Boyd,
Jesse James.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
No, no, thanks.
Yeah,
I don't want. I just. You. I think it's just err on the side of caution with that because of the matchup and where it is on the schedule.
Okay, I like it. All right, go to the website NFL.com/fantasy matchups if you want more info on Indianapolis versus Jacksonville.
RDG rest of the damn
rest of the games.
Carolina at New Orleans, San Francisco at Chicago, and Denver. At Miami.
Garoppolo time.
I know you guys are so offended. We did not break into Denver versus Miami.
We did.
But yeah, I guess we did.
True, we covered the tight end revenge.
All the revenge in factor. That game. I can't wait. The 2018 Pro Bowl vote is here. It's time to vote for your favorite NFL players to play in the 2018 Pro Bowl.
Hashtag Bruce Bowl. Hashtag Bruce Bowl.
Orlando. Vote now. NFL.com/Pro Bowl votes. And again, we are trying to get Bruce Ellington into the Pro Bowl. Will
hashtag
it work?
Bruce Bowl.
Probably
won't. Are you
making
your column right now?
Yes.
Hashtag Bruce Bowl.
I love it.
Find it. Let's go. All right, let's close out your show.
You know what? Real quick.
What?
This is when you should at players. Like, tell Bruce Ellington we're trying to get him in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
hashtag
dude.
Hashtag Bruce Bowl.
100%.
Yeah, some players.
Are you laughing at some of the ones that have popped up there?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
okay.
funny.
Nice.
Someone just sent the screenshot. Thanks for voting, and then just hashtag Bruce Bowl.
Yes. I'm going to do it when we get out of here.
I love it. All right, Daily Dap time. Alex Gellhar, what do you got?
I saw two movies on Tuesday as it was my birthday.
Happy birthday, bro.
Thank
birthday,
you.
Pal.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Happy 32nd birthday.
I'm not there yet, please. So for my birthday, it's a Tuesday in L.A. I didn't want to, like, try and force people to, like, drive across the city late at night after work and stuff. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to have a me night. Went to the cinema, and I saw
cinema.
Had a couple beers throughout the evening and watched two movies.
Of course,
the first one I saw was that's why I love the theaters. Zero riffraff, and
I can bring
my beer into the theater. But first movie I saw was Murder on the Orient Express, which was it's just a lot of fun. I mean, it's much fun as a murder mystery is on a train. But a
lot of good actors.
The cast is phenomenal. It's superbly well acted because Kenneth Branagh plays the main character, and he directed it, and he's like a classically trained, you know, Shakespearean actor, so he's really good. So all the performances are great, and it's just it's a fun, like, mystery because you're trying to, you know, figure out, like, ooh, who is it? And they've got great little kernels. I mean, it's based on an Agatha Christie novel and was a movie back in the day, so I really like that. And then I saw Darkest Hour, which is Gary Oldman plays Winston Churchill, which that's basically The Cell right there. Mm-hmm. And he's incredible in it and probably will win the Oscar. I mean there's still a couple other contenders I have to see. But the movie itself is okay because it's just one of those movies where it's like, this is Gary Oldman playing Winston Churchill. That's all you need. Like, I would have liked to see some other things, but it was he had a really strong performance, and it's kind of a cool movie. Also, it tells a story around the same time of when Dunkirk was happening. So you could double feature it. Watch Dunkirk from Christopher Nolan and watch Darkest Hour from Gary Oldman.
Wow.
Boom. There you go.
Or Joe Wright directed it. Apologies.
Franchise, what you got?
I'm going to do some shameless self-promotion here.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Myself.
You're going to dap yourself?
Well, you're involved.
Oh.
So there you go.
Well,
Watch Fantasy Live on Friday because it's the return of the fantasy hipsters. Woo! To NFL.
What? Is it?
Well,
I didn't know
most,
that.
Potentially.
Most likely.
Most likely.
Oh,
feels you guys could get bumped?
You never know.
Well, We think we got verbal confirmation that it's going to air. We taped a what they called a pilot on Monday.
Got it.
Yeah, that Gelhar, that's an industry term for
they like finally
a first episode
week 13
sort of thing.
They finally let me and Matt Harmon back on TV together. So
that's
you know
great.
We're trending up.
Okay.
So watch Fantasy Live on Friday and see your favorite fantasy hipsters trash talk some players.
Hell yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot.
That's what
we
do.
I will daily dap producer Erica for having us on the NFL Pick'em Show.
Heck yeah.
It's been a lot of fun the last 3 weeks. Last
also
week's
kind
segment.
Of a self-dap.
A little bit, but you're also involved. So
yeah, you can't complain about any of these.
Yeah, Harmon. Nice try, bro.
I'm not. I just want to point out that there's a lot of self-dapping going
nice
on.
Nice try.
All right. Last week's segment I thought was great.
Awesome.
The Stranger Things.
Good. Yeah, the Stranger Things board
game
thing.
It was so
really
stupid,
good.
But I loved every
awesome.
Second of
it. It worked. I don't know why.
It was a lot
but
of fun.
But it worked. It was crazy.
I just mean the fact that we mentioned a gelatinous cube and
Owlbear.
Which it was good on Harmon for carrying over onto Twitter the next day after he like gets a sack.
I'm sure, and nobody understood, I'm sure.
That actually got some pretty good traction.
Did it?
That tweet. I think some people were like, nice Dungeons & Dragons reference. And then I was like, get out of my face. I don't know what that means.
I get it.
But, yeah, some people were like they legit get it. But I think even regardless of that, like, it was just people were like, damn. Because, like, would you –
the
like,
owlbear is
yeah,
nasty.
Hit up Google and, like, look at the owlbear. Uh-huh. Thing's pretty fierce looking.
Okay.
So,
it's a good
yeah.
thing I caught your tweet, though, and helped you correct it for you. Cause
I thought it was owlbearer.
Yeah, you like, thought like, bear, like somebody's holding an owl or something.
No,
it's a cross between an owl and a bear.
Right.
It's fierce.
It's owlbear. Right. Yeah.
It looks nightmarish, man. Like, if I saw one of those things in the woods, I would run the hell away.
That thing is crazy, man.
It's badass, yeah.
It's terrifying.
I love it. I will also daily dap my drive in because
– Was there traffic?
Yeah, of course there was traffic. Let me tell you about the traffic.
Wow.
But no, the traffic allowed me to really realize somebody has it worse than you. And let me explain why.
Oh, boy.
So we went for some team building yesterday.
Yep.
Can confirm.
And then I carried that over into meeting some of my buddies – for some additional adult beverages.
Yeah, that was a bold move.
And that went into far too late into the night. And I quadrupled – you had some nachos in our team building.
Yeah.
Then when I went to go meet up my friends, they were having nachos.
Oh, boy.
And then we got another plate of nachos.
You had three nachos?
It's a hat trick.
And it was a hat trick of nacho plates, and I woke up today.
You're gross. RIP your stomach
today,
man.
My God. It was brutalized.
Oh, God.
I woke up today, and I was like, holy good God, I feel like trash.
Several beers and three different plates of nachos?
It was so bad, dude.
That's disgusting.
It was awful.
I'm actually grossed out by
this. The thing is, I'm sure at the time, it was all delicious.
Oh, my God. It was great. Your plate of nachos. Yeah, it was amazing. So I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is so bad. But I'm driving in today. I'm driving in today. And I'm like, man, this is so horrible. And I pull up next to this guy who literally just opens his door and just.
No!
Just all over. I'm like, holy hell.
And then you suddenly felt better. Like,
and
yep,
I was like,
I'm
you know what,
bad.
Man? You know what?
I'm in
somebody,
good shape.
Somebody.
Wait, was there the 405?
No, I got to at this hour. You got to come in locally. But so yeah, we're at a stoplight.
And man,
the guy next to me just opens his door and just all over the side of the road. And you're like, oh man, I thought I had it bad. I thought I had
you
it bad.
You were like, not actually at peak performance right
and
now.
And I'm
compared
like, you
to
know
this
what?
Guy.
This is your daily life reminder that somebody. Always has it worse.
Oh, God.
He may have had four plates of nachos.
Yeah, he might have gone to the quadruple.
He went out for late night nachos.
It was amazing. I was like, wow, dude. That is amazing what just happened right there. Anyway, so there you go. So daily daps to my drive-in for reminding me yet again, as bad as you think you have it, it's not probably not that bad. So there you go.
Still utterly grossed out by you just for
as you should be. I grossed myself out, not going to lie to you. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Two daily daps for me. One, I'm going to dap This Is Us again because it has just been quite an emotional journey.
I watched the new one last night, bro.
I have to watch. I think I have two more to watch, but I'm probably going to watch it this weekend.
I'm nearing the end of season one, so I'm catching up.
The guy who plays Randall is such a good actor.
Oh, yeah, Sterling K. Brown?
Yeah, he was great. He was great in OJ vs. the People, too. Yeah.
He won the Emmy this year for Best Lead Actor, so yeah. Yeah, he crushes it.
Every time I'm like, dude, he's –
He's incredible.
But I watched the if you watch the show, the Kevin episode of this second season, and that was a lot.
Yeah.
Show just like it's just a lot, man. And like I don't know. Anyways, Daps to the This Is Us again. Definitely.
We should just call this section like This is Daps.
Yeah. This is
like,
Daps.
Just give it. Yeah. Give This Is Us props all the time.
I don't know. Maybe they should have us on the show, for God's sakes. How much we talk about it on this podcast, obviously
like
boosting their viewership,
yeah. Obviously.
Which they clearly needed help
100%.
from this pissant podcast.
Yeah.
Anyways, and
second daily dap.
Yeah. I'm going to continue my theme of also daily dapping places around my new area of my new bubble.
Oh, good.
C&M Cafe, I guess, is technically on Woodbine Street up there.
Overland.
And Overland, yeah. Great, like, little... It's like a little hipster spot, honestly. We should be doing like hits from this place because it's like got good, real good coffee, good like, good sandwiches sort of thing. I had like a good millennial. I had some avocado toast because I was doing laundry across the street.
Gross.
It was flames. So I'm very excited to go back there. And
was it $17?
No. Oh. It was not. But the bread was whole grain. You know I'm about that whole grain life.
Let's move on.
What?
From avocado toast.
Producer Chris, should I talk about more nachos?
What do we got?
I'm trying to help our
we're
listeners.
We're trying to save you from yourself, bro.
Avocado toast.
Unbelievable.
You know, I'm going to daps my younger brother. It's his birthday today.
Yeah.
31.
Happy birthday,
Shane. He's a firefighter in Charleston, South Carolina.
Nice.
I know he's working today. And our family... We're diehard Redskins fans.
Yeah.
Cowboys, Redskins tonight.
Sorry.
So I hope the Skins beat the boys for his birthday.
There we go.
Happy birthday. Wait, you said this is your younger brother?
I have two younger brothers. Yeah, he's the middle brother.
And so he's 31?
Yeah. Yeah. Do the math, bro.
Wow, look at Matt Harmon just trying to figure it out.
You're going
to
be old one day. Don't
yeah.
I'm not. Chris looks good for being 31 plus.
31 plus. Add a few more to that, bud.
He looks very good for that.
I don't think you were going that route.
No, that was that.
You've
actually
changed
was,
your tune.
No, no, no. That was definitely the route I'm going. I mean, especially considering, like, you mean for as hellish as some of you guys
oh
look here that are
God.
Old.
At least
Chris
I'm not,
has looked damn good.
At least
for
he's not puking on the side of the road. That guy. Jeez.
At least we're all not that guy.
At least we're all not that guy.
Wouldn't it be hilarious? I mean, if he was one of our trillions of listeners, like, and he's like yeah. driving
he's
back from
roasted.
His listeners. Oh, my God, that's me.
That would be
that
amazing,
would be
actually.
The best.
Yeah, if you are listening to this podcast and you threw up at a stoplight in Sepulveda Boulevard
exactly.
on Thursday,
tweet
November
to Co.
30th.
Let me know.
Tweet to Co.
Let me know.
Tweet at James D. Co.
Let me know. By the way, who of us has not been there before?
I've been there.
Come on. No one?
No, I don't think.
I don't think I've ever thrown
not
up
on the
road.
We did it out of a moving taxi in New York.
I've done it out of multiple moving cars, I guess. One was the literally the day before I got married.
Oh,
all right. On the drive home, I was like, dude, you're going to have to open your window.
Oh, my gosh.
The guy's like, what? I'm like, oh, you're going to have to open that window, pal.
Yep.
All right.
Or pay the price.
And with that.
On that note. That,
all right, that's the show.
Yay.
Matt Harmon, Alex Gellar, and Matt Franchise's producer, Chris. I'm James Coe.